And for those thinking about it,
you seriously want to do that?
Where do you want me to put this?
So. I don't think this is going to work. I'll be moving about.
I'll just follow you.
I'm not sure I'm keen on that idea.
Yeah, okay,
I'm not keen on that idea either. The concepts of masculinity come from a number of sources, philosophical, theological, mythical, and it's a whole understanding of the masculine ethos that must be embraced. If it's not, like it hasn't been in our today's culture, you have a cultural wreck, because the distinctions between male and female are real, not just in the dynamic of the physicality, but in the whole dynamic of how God designed women and how God designed men. And to say that they're all the same, to say that we think alike, act alike, is disordered, because that is not the case. Your own experience proves that. So, first thing to remember, masculinity and maleness are not the same. Does that surprise you?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Being male is having a male body. But masculinity, being a man, is a willfulness to live a certain way. So that's why the church has always been about initiation. Believe it or not, the Catholic faith before modern times was a very masculine religion. It has only now become hyper-feminine. And you'll see why I say that in a moment. So being a male is having a male body, but being a man is willfully living a certain way. Now we know biologically that female is the basic sex into which embryos develop if not stimulated by the androgens. So strictly speaking, then, the male is expendable as his physical role in reproduction, because it's over, and then it's all up to the woman for reproduction. So the male has always been expendable in that respect. And this leads to the reality of what we'll point towards in a moment. But first, developmental psychology. And again, this is important for you mothers who have boys, and important for you boomers who have adult children that act like boys. This is going to help you make them grow up. And it's good for you boomer women to hear, because male and female are not the same. This is the most disturbing thing for a modern woman to hear, but a good mother knows it is absolutely true. The boy must reject his mother, or he will never become masculine. The boy must reject his mother, or he'll never become masculine. Our culture is so bad today because too many insecure mothers would not let go of their sons. They wouldn't cut the apron strings. And as a result, they had male bodies, but they never developed into real men. They wouldn't live a certain way. They would embrace self-sacrifice because mother held on too tight. Mother was trying to compensate for dad. Mother did not allow the necessary rejection to happen on the part of her children because she was too needy. Remember, at first, for all infants, life is simply blissful existence. They are at one with the mother. That's how they see it. But a boy begins to realize that the mother is not only a distinct person, but she is in some way alien to him. With this, a boy begins to define himself as separate and distinct, and some mothers don't like this. Especially godless mothers. Mothers have no faith.
Would I be able to set this in that thing?
And risk it falling?
It won't fall. Is it sitting there? Yeah, see?
Covering
the speaker.
No, it's not. The
speaker's
on top.
The microphone's on top?
Yeah.
For the girl, for the female, it's the feminine sense. The self is connected to the world as defined by her sameness with her mother. See how that develops psychologically? Because she and her mother are the same, her sense of the world is based on community. It's based on the reality of sameness. She's same with her mother, therefore, She sees the world in that respect. And it's natural and ordered by God because women as mothers need to be otherly focused, especially with regards to their infants. For the boy, it's the masculine sense. The self is separate, which comes from his awareness that his mother's body is different. So as the girl psychologically develops with the commonality with her mother, she sees the world in that way. True boys, if they're allowed to be who they are, because they know their mother is different, they automatically see themselves as separate. And this is absolutely necessary for the male to grow into manhood, to recognize his separateness. If a boy fails to achieve this separation, he will have problems with his identity as a man. He won't understand himself as a man because there's no separation. A boy begins at his masculine identity by identifying with his father and or male mentors. The boy, I know, hard for you boomers to hear this. The boy must reject being mothered. He must reject it in order to love another woman properly. If mom holds on tight to Junior, and Junior always does everything based on mom, he'll never love a woman as he should. Because all he'll be doing is loving his mom and making her happy and marrying the woman she says he should marry, etc., etc., etc. Well, you know, it's the whole boomer story. So he must reject being mothered in order to love another woman properly. Otherwise, he reverts back to infantile narcissism. So think that through. Because when you look at a certain age group, do you see in them maturity or immaturity? And so that's a reality. He'll revert back to infantile narcissism. One of the things I do in marriage prep is tell the men, you may not confide all of your weaknesses to your wife. Because if you do, she will become your mother. And then you'll lose your headship. She can't help it. It's within her nature. And she'll want to solve all your problems. That's why the church gives you a father confessor. Yes, it creates a false sense of intimacy when you share your deepest, darkest secrets and struggles with your wife. Yes, you feel good about that connectedness. But you have lost your headship. You're now equals. And it means that you're serving yourself and your own emotionalism in order to feel good about a connection. Men are about separateness, not about sameness. There's no coincidence that we have a homosexual crisis in the world today. Because it's all based on sameness, not separation. So therefore, a husband has to reject the temptation to be mothered. Especially when the husbands get sick. Because that's usually a time that most men want to be mothered by their wives. I understand, especially when they get older. So, alienation begins. What does that mean, Gabriel?
To make alien.
That is a otherness. Nathan answer. That's a Nathan answer.
Otherness, like when alienation is
to
like,
exclude.
Alienated means other, like something else.
Uh-huh. So if you're alienated,
you've been made another person, like you're not yourself.
If you're alienated,
you're separated.
Separated or outside. So alienation begins for the boy as he realizes that the loving, blissful, narcissistic unity with his mother cannot be trusted. Does that alarm you?
I'm just trying to think through that one.
Exactly.
She can't be trusted.
Alienation, separation begins for the boy as he realizes that the loving, blissful, narcissistic unity with his mother cannot be trusted. It's in other words, he can't trust himself because he'll revert to infantile narcissism. He'll enjoy being mothered so much that that's all he'll live for. So it's not saying the mom is bad. It's saying the boy realizes he must separate because he is not a woman. And so he knows he can't trust it. And this is happening in adolescent years in particular. Therefore, a boy puts space between himself and his mother and learns from this a strong sense of agency, of acting on the world to change it rather than to simply accept the world. This is why Christ, when he established the Roman Catholic faith, would call on the apostles to go out into the world, and then those men who would follow the apostles, laymen, would have the desire to go out and change the world instead of accepting it the way it is. What is accepting it the way it is based on this reality of psychology? It is the feminine community. Whereas a man is separate, so automatically he's always looking at things more objectively and desires to repair, desires to fix, desires to change, if he's ordered properly. If he's disordered, he'll follow the feminine route. It'll be about community. Make sure the community's happy. Make sure the community's content. That's the problem with too many pastors and bishops today. They think like women. It's all about the community being happy and content and always being at peace. Whereas men know when the family's in disorder, they need to step in and give direction to repair it. And it's within his nature to do so. It's not within ordinary circumstances a woman's nature to do that. If it is, then she's probably too masculine, and she probably already took some masculinity away from her husband, which then would create disorder in her sons, because they don't know who to identify with. They know mom is strong, they know dad is weak, but they couldn't separate from mom because of her strength, and they never identify with dad because he was weak, and then they themselves have no direction, and guaranteed they will marry a woman that leads them, a woman that directs them, or they'll not get married at all because they'll be too afraid of committing to a woman because of that unhealthy dynamic. Make sense? All this is part and parcel with the reality of the important role you play as parents in raising children and the obligations you have, but especially sons. Because of the reality of separateness, because of the reality of being configured to God. Masculine is separation. Feminine is communion. Masculine agency manifests itself as isolation, alienation, solitude, the urge to master, and yes, repression of emotion. These are normal masculine features that modern women don't like. Honey, you got to share with me your deepest feelings. How are you feeling this morning? And he doesn't know what to say. But if he does, it's like he just learned what will work. There has to be a balance. Now, feminine agency manifests itself as contact, openness, union, non-contractual cooperation, rejection, and removal of emotional repression. And this is why male and female are so compatible, because they're different, not because they're the same. So there's a balancing act that occurs in the sacrament of holy matrimony that's most necessary. Questions on that? Anybody scandalized beyond repair yet? Good.
Chili says she don't like it.
Because I have one of those sons right now.
Yes, and as the boy is finding his agency,
she missed the very first thing he said.
As he's finding his agency in the world,
tell Julie the very first thing he said.
What?
A boy must be.
Oh, you missed that?
No, I heard that.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I heard it in the Singapore because I was like, I don't like that. But
a boy must reject being mother in order to love another woman properly?
No,
a boy puts space between himself and a mother learns that.
The very first
boy must reject his mother.
Right. Oh, yes. He must reject his mother or he will never become masculine. He will never become a man.
So he's supposed to listen to Gabe and stand up to his mother.
No, he's supposed to listen to his father. And show the same.
If he ever does that again, he's gonna get.
And show the same respect to his mother that his father shows. I heard about that, by the way. Well, you and I need to have a little talk. interfering with a parent-son relationship. You ought to be ashamed.
Hey, he needs help rejecting his mother. He just can't.
It is up to his father. It is up to his father to guide him in that, not Gabriel.
This is not apologetics class.
Yeah, you can't help it. That's good, though. You're learning. Masculine ideology. It's a set of beliefs that encourages boys to undertake the dangerous work in society. Why do you think there are more girls in college now than there are boys?
School is geared towards
girls. And why is school now geared towards girls? Not only that, but a fear of the reality of the masculine ideology. Boys are expected to be like little girls who sit quietly at their desks, never moving. And if they do move too much, they give them medication to make them like little girls. And they call it ADHD or something. But the masculine ideology is always about encouraging boys to be willing to undertake the dangerous work in society, which is why boys tend to be more daring. And of course, girls will be if they have older brothers, because they'll follow their example. Manhood is an achievement that comes from storm and stress, challenge and trial. An achievement, Gabriel.
Yes, Father.
Manhood is an achievement that comes from storm and stress, challenge and trial. A man must give up the state of boyhood in which he is protected by women, cared for by women, so that he may become a protector and provider for women and for children. Separation is absolutely necessary. I'm waiting for some of these mothers to start crying.
We are inside.
A man must give up being mothered before he can become a father. He'll never become a good father if he's always mothered. He must reject the feminine and cultivate a distance from the world of women, so that he can one day return to it, not as a recipient of the world of women, but as a provider for the world of women. In other words, he has to break away from being protected in order to become a protector. He has to break away from being provided for so that he can be the one who self-sacrifices to make it actually happen. Otherwise, again, he stays in infantile narcissism. It's all about him. You know, the 35-year-old who spends his life in the basement playing video games. And the parents actually let him do it. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have a family. He just lives like he were a child forever. Never broke free. Never challenged. To be masculine, and careful with this, you're not going to like this. To be masculine, a man must be willing to fight and be willing to inflict pain, as you see your boys do on the soccer field. He must also be willing to suffer and endure pain. Part of the masculine ethos, the masculine ideology. In ordered society, ours is disordered. In ordered society, men receive dominance in exchange for the risks they take because their lives tend to be higher with regards to the possibility for violent death, and men willingly take far more of their share of risks in an ordered society. So the masculine pattern, and if it's healthy, this is what it follows. Initial union with regards to childhood, separation with regards to maturing, reunion with regards to further maturing, and a trajectory. In other words, a journey or a quest, but always away from something. Women tend to run to something. Men run away from something. And it's not a matter of fear on either count. It's a matter of what is ordered according to their natures. Because remember, God is transcendent. Transcendent.
Yes, Father.
We learned that word.
Yeah, we learned that.
Yeah, but all you're doing is paying attention to the baby.
It's a pretty good baby.
Yeah, you two will make some fine mothers. So much for the world of separation.
It's a little boy.
That doesn't help your cause. I'm trying to guide you into manhood, and you're looking at a baby. What part of manhood is that?
That's why we agreed. That's why.
No, you're looking at. I saw you.
I know. I said yes, Father. We said transcendent.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm listening. We're protecting the baby.
Yeah. We're willing to inflict pain.
We're raising him well.
Apparently, are you two a couple now? The feminine pattern is what Matthew's doing now. Maintenance of unity. Maintenance of unity. You can see how things are disordered in the church today. Because it's all about maintenance of unity. Make sure everybody's happy. Make sure everybody's content. Whereas when the church was in her heyday and her strength, she was anathematizing everyone that was against the reality of the truth. And she would separate them from the body. Because she knew what a danger they were to the mystical body of Christ in its human frailty. But the modern model is, let's build a nest and everybody's welcome. All are welcome, as they say. So masculine pattern, union, separation, reunion, always a quest away from something where they will find trials, storms, stresses that allow them to prove themselves. And then once they have proven themselves, they gladly go back into the world, in our parlance, according to their vocation, and live that vocation out. Whether it be marriage or priesthood, both involve a reunion with something. So, to be a man, it requires initiation. And part of that initiation will not be holding babies. Because initiation begins with a sharp break. A sharp break. Departure from the common life to be set apart. A liminal period. Liminal. Limes, Latin.
Never learned that.
Women.
Limes. L-I-M-E-S. Where we get the word liminal? What's liminal?
Don't know. Never heard of that.
Hmm.
Latin or English.
Threshold. Threshold. You guys aren't studying your vocabulary enough. You're hovering between two worlds, boyhood and manhood. There's a state of some chaos, a state between the profane and the sacred. But from the chaos, a new identity is born. From the struggle. So every boy has to go out and face some kind of disorder, some kind of chaos to prove himself to himself, because this is the masculine ethos. In our culture today, mothers try to protect their sons from that, and that's why you have so many effeminate men. And I don't mean effeminate in the sense of womanlike, I mean effeminate in the classical sense of just seeking creature comforts. So an initiation, you have a sharp break, departure from the common life, you're set apart. The church has done this from the very beginning. That's why it's always been a masculine religion. It started out with the catechumens being separated from the rest of the community, or the men studying for the priesthood are separated from the rest of the community, and then they'll rejoin the community after they're properly initiated. So the liminal period is that period in between where there's some degree of chaos. And again, a state between the profane and the sacred. And from the chaos, new identity is born. Entry into a new way of life is what ends up being the result of initiation. They come in to a new world with an entirely new identity. And that's at the core of Catholicism with regards to baptism. Once you're baptized, you are reborn in Christ, whole new identity. And the same with regards to those of us who are priests. There's the ontological change that occurs to us in ordination. And those of you who are married, the two souls, the husband and wife, are joined and bonded through Christ So you are changed in that respect. By virtue of now, you no longer live for yourself, but for your spouse and your children. And your whole life is about building the common life, fostering the common life, dying to yourself for the sake of your spouse. All males who mature into men will have experienced some kind of initiation into masculinity. Only those who are men. The boy experiences something that he would not attain on his own by simply following his boyish desire for security or his adolescent instincts and appetites. So every boy is seeking, if he's immature, security. And then if he's an immature with regards to being an adolescent immature, which we have so many men that are perennial adolescents, all he does is seek to secure or satisfy his appetites, whether they are instincts or actual bodily appetites. Boys who undergo the proper transformation have a lifelong bond with all other boys who have so suffered and persevered through it. And this is why you always see modern women trying to horn in all of that. Like women becoming military, women becoming soldiers on the front line.
MMA, WWE.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of camaraderie can't exist because the dynamic is different. Boys are separated. If they're raised properly, they separate and they automatically are somewhat isolated. And when they find friends that have suffered like they have, those friendships are few, but they are always very profound. And that's the whole dynamic of the reality of, say, brothers in arms, men who are in combat together. There's a bond that is profound. Or those of us who are in an ordered, normal priesthood, there's a bond of brotherhood between us that is strong, but unfortunately right now we have too many sisters. Huh, nobody laughed at that very funny joke.
I was kind of laughing, and I was like, everybody else laughs, so I'm like, maybe I wasn't supposed to laugh.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Greg. Hear this. Catholicism is a religion of initiation. It is a true religion of masculinity. Yes, that's right. Masculinity. Why? Because the Son of God is the one who saved us, and He is both God and man. And it's a religion about worshiping Him. So therefore, when we surrender to feminine rules, the true religion falls apart. When we adhere to masculine ethos, true religion does what it's supposed to. It challenges the world and it becomes hated by the world. Christ is the archetype of manhood. The goal of masculine ideology of Catholicism is to teach men to save others, even at the cost of their own lives. True initiation is in Catholicism. True initiation is in Catholicism, for it reveals true manhood. The ultimate contest against evil, the triumph and the victory of the God-man, Jesus Christ. Any questions? So have you arrived at initiation yet?
Enough for you to figure that out? Get that out of me?
Have you arrived at initiation yet, Gabriel? Huh. I can help you.
You can test us.
I can give you a storm and a trial if you want. Any other questions?
Yeah,
Derek?
I'm just trying to write it down. Religion is against the world and for the... Sorry.
No.
Just trying to...
The reality of true religion is masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And masculine requires separation. You need a couple of minutes before I now tell you young men what the perfect wife is, according to sacred scripture. Which means it's what every wife is aspiring to be. Do you have your hand up, Colleen?
Yeah, quick question. So the separation from the mom that the son does, what
one, what would it look like in reality? Is it like a rebellion? Or, and then two, when does it happen?
No, if it's ordered, and of course it's not going to be totally ordered because of concupiscence, it is him pulling away from the safety of his mother's world and trying to enter into his dad's world. So he wants to spend more time with dad. He wants to do more things with dad. And he'll start being more interested in the things that boys do. So it's a process that will begin once he is self-aware. Okay. And then when there are other boys, for example, he'll tend to be with other boys in school, things like that. And he's drawn to the masculine ethos automatically. Okay. And so it should be a natural, progressive, seemingly so slow, but sometimes fast, depending on the situation. Yeah. And so good mothers are aware of it, and good mothers push their sons out of the nest. Make sure they are connecting with their father, and if the father's not available because of tragedy or whatever, then they endeavor to find some kind of individual to be a mentor.
Okay. Just a contribution. I remember back whenever we were children in the 50s and 60s, we looked up to our dads. They were our... We respected them, we were obedient to them, and I could see the kids, the boys, would gravitate toward their dads, go to the fields, or go to the shop, or wherever, and they would, you could tell, I don't see that today so much.
No.
You know, so what you're saying, it really relates to, I don't see it here, but I see it out there, where the sons are with their moms. Let's go get a tattoo together. Let's go do this together.
Sad but true.
Don't let me, Father.
It's true. You can see it.